We know that throughout centuries, people have wrestled with that question, who is Jesus? I mean, perhaps you thought about, but you know, for centuries, people have this idea of Jesus or this belief about Jesus that, you know, sometimes it causes you to ask, who is the true Jesus? Because sometimes the Jesus that you hear people talk about doesn't match the Jesus that we read about in the Bible. I mean, some people view Jesus as a prophet. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, yeah, he was a prophet, but some people believe that that's all he was, that Jesus was a prophet. For instance, Islam, they believe Jesus was a prophet like Muhammad. That's what Jesus, and they talk about Jesus in the Quran, like Jesus, the word Jesus is like 25 times in their writings. I mean, they talk, but Jesus was a prophet, just like Muhammad. Now, you got Jehovah's Witnesses, and some of you are here today, we can talk after the service, but some Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus was just a created angel. In fact, they say Jesus was Michael, the archangel. Jesus is the one that said, like, and the angel of the Lord. You know, that's, they believe Jesus is a created angel. You also have the Mormons believe that Jesus was Lucifer's spiritual brother. Can you imagine that? Jesus is Satan's brother in their theology. But you see, that's what I mean, to me, when I go to the Bible and talk about Jesus, I want to make sure that I get really who Jesus is, because there are so many Jesuses running around. People have different ideas about Jesus that it causes you to say, please, will the real Jesus please stand up? Because we don't even know. You know what I mean? Like, you believe, depending on where you go, you know, backgrounds, how you were raised, you perhaps grew up believing in a Jesus like that. And, you know, like I say, if you only believe Jesus is a great teacher, you cannot be saved then. You can have a great lesson from Jesus because he's a teacher, but that's all you believe about him. Then you have Scientologists believe that Jesus is just a great teacher who taught us how to be spiritually advanced. You know, I mean, again, there's so many ideas about Jesus that, and people have wrestled with this identity. Who is Jesus? We really want to know. I mean, Jesus caused our calendar. He affected everything, you know, B.C. and A.D. and, you know, so many things. I mean, we talk about Jesus in church, but do we truly know who he is? I hope we do as believers. I mean, I don't know if you knew this. We decided to follow him. We should know who we're following, shouldn't we? I mean, would you just follow anybody who just showed up preaching? Yeah, I wouldn't. So if we're going to say that we're followers of Jesus, we better understand, church, who he is. Because why would you follow anybody, you know? You know, like I said, Jesus was, the Mormons believed that he was the brother of Satan. And the founder of the Mormon was shot in prison, Joseph Smith. You know, and so and they even have another testament of Jesus Christ. They already said that Jesus came to America and, you know, he's not coming back. I mean, there's so many things. But again, you see, they talk about Jesus and we hear about Jesus. And so sometimes, like, what Jesus are we talking about? Is that the one in the Bible, the one I call Savior and Lord? And you know, you're here today. I just want you to, so that we can have a fuller version, a clearer picture of who Jesus is, because, you know, there's so many beliefs about. Now, the question, who do you believe Jesus is? I'm pretty sure if I were to challenge you with that question, you would perhaps give me a lot of Bible verses, and you already have an idea because you already are a follower of Jesus. You follow him for some reasons. Who do you believe Jesus is? You see, my friends, that is a foundational question, because, and you and I need to think deep about that, because our eternity hangs on that. Our eternity hangs on how you answer that question. Who is Jesus? Because again, if he's just a prophet, he can preach good, but you're not going to be saved by Jesus. He might not be able to help you with your struggle because he's just a prophet or a teacher, great teacher. That's all he does. So you and I need to think deeply about who do we believe Jesus is. You see, when he began his ministry, in Galilee, a lot of people still did not quite get Jesus. They still were puzzled by his identity. People just saw him as a prophet. You know, he attracted large crowds everywhere he went. People wanted to see who this person that everybody was talking about was. And, you know, people just, I heard that he can multiply bread and feed a whole bunch of people. I heard that he can just do miracles. Let's go. Let's check him out. See what all the miracles he's going to do so that we can just be entertained. There were a lot of people following Jesus everywhere he went for the wrong reasons as well. His fame spread all throughout the villages and towns. You see, that's what caused people sometimes to say to others, come and see. Come see a man. The Samaritan woman, you know, she had an encounter with Jesus, and, you know, it got a little personal because Jesus said, go call your husband. She said, I don't have a husband. Jesus said, you're right. You don't have a husband because you have five, and the man you're living with now is not your husband. And then she was like, well, let's talk about worship. And then Jesus said, you know, you don't get it. And then finally, she went back to the village, and a woman that would never talk to anybody in the village went and told people, come see a man that told me everything I ever did. Could he be the Christ? And my friends, you know who the first evangelist in Samaria was? That woman. Jesus would cause people to say, hey, come check him out, man. I don't know about you, but he caused... One time the Pharisees sent the soldiers to arrest Jesus because they had a problem with Jesus. The soldiers went to arrest him and came back without Jesus. And the Pharisees said, like, where's Jesus? You know what they said? We had never heard a man who talked like him. Jesus caused people, you know, to say things like, Philip, Peter's brother, met Jesus first. And then he went back to Peter and said, hey, I think we found the Messiah. Come and see. Jesus calls people to always say, come and see, because once people encounter Jesus, their lives were never the same. It was Jesus that had that power that would transform people. And you know, it's just like everybody who encountered Jesus, they were never the same. You know, this soldier one time said, Jesus, my son is dying, he's sick, but you don't even have to go to my house. Just say the word. Man, Jesus said, wow, I never seen great faith in all Israel. I mean, Jesus, but again, people wanted to know, what was it about Jesus? Who was this Galilean preacher that began traveling villages all across the Jordan to proclaim God's message? And they wanted to know his identity. Now, we know the apostles, at least, because they spent about 3 years with Jesus. They had a better understanding of who Jesus was. But even there, remember when the apostles, they were traveling on the Sea of Galilee, and it was dark, and all of a sudden there was like a storm, and the apostles are panicking, and you never seen fishermen afraid like they were that night. And Jesus, where's Jesus? He's sleeping. And the boat, remember that? And then there's like, for the first time, perhaps the apostles had this fear. They lived around that region. They were fishermen. They had experience with storm. But this one was no ordinary storm, because there's like, we're about to die. Wake up, Jesus. Jesus, don't you care that we're about to die? Jesus gets up like, ugh. And then he said to the wind, be still. Now, you would have thought the apostles already knew that, yeah, that was Jesus. What did they ask after that? Who is this? Even they did not even know now. It's like, we thought we knew Jesus, man. Did you just see what he did? And that's a big thing, because only for Jewish people, back in those days, they knew that only God can control the powers of nature. So when they asked, who is this? They realized, this is not just a man. Maybe we're in the presence of God right now. So who is Jesus? You know, I'm glad you asked, because we're going to spend some time. You know, in the Gospel of Matthew, finally Jesus asked that question to his disciples. Remember, they've been hanging out for about 3 years. They got to know Jesus, and they were in the boat, and they saw Jesus do miracles. They saw Jesus heal sick, cast out demons. They saw Jesus resurrect dead. So they had a clear picture of who Jesus was. I mean, you're hanging out with a man for about 3 years. Yeah, you get to know him very well. At one time, Jesus told the apostles, who do people say that I am? What are people talking about me in the community? Who do they say that I am? Remember, and they say, well, this is the public opinion of the day, Matthew 13. Now, by this, in context, by the time Jesus is asking these questions, he's about to go to the cross. You know, it's towards the end of his ministry, because you see at the end of asking the question, Jesus then tell them plainly what he was about to do. It's in Matthew 16 when Peter confessed Jesus, and I think you and I need to understand to have the same confession that Peter came that day. Matthew 16, verse 13 through following. It says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you? Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he warned the disciples not to tell anybody he was the Christ. Several times in the Bible says that Jesus told the disciples, "Don't tell anybody what you've seen." I always like kind of like, and this is what they confess Jesus here, and they say, "Hey, just keep that to yourself." But you know, eventually the disciples could not keep that promise. They just told everybody who Jesus was. But here it is. Jesus wanted to know what the disciples understood people were talking about Jesus. Who do people say the Son of Man is? Now, the Son of Man is a messianic title. It's called the Son of Man because it was believed in the Bible the Messiah will come from the line of David. David will be, you know, and so the Son of Man, Jesus also called the Son of God. So the Son of God because, you know, he's God, the Son of Man because he's the Messiah coming from the lineage of David. It's, again, referring to one person, Jesus himself. So if you look, if you read the account in Mark, Mark will say, "Who do people say that I am? What are people saying about me?" The disciples already knew that the answer to that question. They said, "Well, some people say that you are John the Baptist." Why are they saying that? By this time, John the Baptist is already being beheaded. And some people, especially the King Herod, they believed that Jesus was John the Baptist resurrected from the dead. So there were some people in that community that they thought Jesus was John the Baptist that he raised up from the dead. Now, other people believed Jesus was Elijah. They thought, "Oh, the Messiah is going to be Elijah." Because there's a scripture in the Old Testament that said that Elijah will come first. So perhaps that's the opinion people have, that this Jesus that we see running around, he's Elijah. Or he's Jeremiah. Or perhaps one of the Old Testament prophets. You see, what are they saying? Most people believe that Jesus was just what? A prophet. Because all the ones that we have, John the Baptist was the last prophet of the Old Testament, by the way. Jesus said there was nobody like John the Baptist. You know, and so John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, or any of the other prophets like Daniel or Jonah. So that's what people believed Jesus to be. They thought he was a prophet. But you see, that's what the public opinion of the day was. But Jesus was not content with that. He wanted to know what his true followers thought about him. So who do people say that I am? A prophet. But what about you? And here's the question that you and I need to wrestle. Who do you say I am? He asked his disciples. Peter, I always view that because it's almost like Peter's like a little kid when they know the answer. It's like, I got it. I know the answer to the question. Who do you say that I am? Peter just gets up and says, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Christ is the Greek word for Messiah. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And it's like, you see, the disciples, they were following Jesus, and they finally get it, that the one they've been following is the Messiah. This is huge. You know why? Because Jewish people, for centuries, they've been for many years, they were expecting the Messiah. They knew. Even the Samaritan woman knew that Messiah was coming. Remember what she told Jesus? "We know Messiah is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." You know what Jesus told her? "I who speak to you, am he. I'm here." So people thought the Messiah was coming. I preached a sermon, what the Messiah would do, how his ministry. And so the Jewish people were expecting a Messiah. But the Messiah that they expected would be a king like King David, a revolutionary king that would kick the Romans out and give back Palestine to the Jewish people. That's the Messiah. The apostles were following Jesus because they saw he has to be the one. That's what Andrew told Peter. "I think we found the Messiah. Man, we've been looking for him. It wasn't John the Baptist. We found him." John the Baptist, later on, he gets arrested. And, you know, like many of us, we have doubts sometimes. John the Baptist, after he introduced Jesus as the Lamb of God, he gets arrested before he got killed. And then he was just like, was he the Messiah? He sent a couple of his disciples and told Jesus, "Hey, tell us plainly, are you the one that we've been waiting for?" And Jesus said to the two disciples of John, said, "Go tell John, the blind can see, the good news is being proclaimed, the dead are being raised." It's almost like, do you need any more evidence? It's almost Jesus saying, like, look at what I'm doing already. So the disciples already came up with that conclusion. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. You are the one we have been waiting for. The disciples' response, Peter's response, is really what Jesus wanted to hear. Because he said, well done, Peter. Blessed are you. The word blessed there is the word happy are you. Happy are you because this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood or by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I say that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. And I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound on heaven. Whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And please don't tell anybody what I told you. That's kind of what Jesus told them right there. Jesus is saying, finally, they get it. Because they confess Jesus as the Messiah. You see, he's not just a prophet or a teacher. The Messiah. Messiah means he's the anointed one of God. The Son of Man. You see, the more you get to know Jesus, the more you realize that he was more than just a prophet or a teacher. You see, when we talk about that he's the Son of God, you see, being the Son of God means that he was God himself. And that's the picture you get from the Gospel of John. John starts the Gospel. There are two books in the Bible that start in the beginning, based on the NIV. It's Genesis and John. Genesis says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. John starts, in the beginning was the Word. The word "word" is the logos. The Greek understood the logos created the whole universe. John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were created by him and for him. John 1:14 says, and the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen the glory of the one who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh. That's what we call the incarnation. God in the flesh. So you see, Jesus is not just a prophet. He's also God. So the Word became flesh. He is God. The more you get to know Jesus, the more you realize that he was more than just a prophet or teacher. You see, after Peter's response, Jesus applauded or commended him and said, well done. And you see, he told the disciples, he gave the disciples a preview of what he was about to do. Remember, this is towards the end of his ministry, and now he's not even going to teach them in parables. He's going to talk to them plainly. After that incident, he's going to tell them, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, and this is what's going to happen to me. The chief priests are going to arrest me, they're going to do this, and they're going to kill me, but on the third day, I'll be back. Remember, Peter did not hear anything after Jesus told him that. That's in the same chapter, after Peter confessed Jesus as the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. Who is Jesus? That's the question, the piercing question. Who is Jesus? The dangerous question. Here we see that Jesus is also the founder of his church. Because the first time Jesus told the disciples about the word church, you know, he had used the word church in Matthew. It's like, tell it to the church, meaning the synagogue, the temple. But here now, Jesus said, guess what? And on this rock, I will build my church. Jesus saying this, the very rock, that statement that Peter preached and proclaimed, saying, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. On that statement, I'm going to build my ecclesia, the church. You know, in the church, the word there is never a building. The church is the word in the Greek means gathering. So every time there are people that believe in Jesus, every time there's two or three, there's a church. Gathering or congregation or the coming together, that's the church. Just say, I'm going to build my church. That's just, you see, I'll call that a preview because the church was built months later. Well, to be exact, let me give you 50 days after Jesus had the meal was Pentecost, and the church was born on Pentecost. So maybe a couple of months after Jesus telling them that, I will build my church. And I always like to see previews before I go watch a movie because the previews will tell you whether you're going to like it or not. This is one of those previews. Jesus said, the church is coming. I'm going to build it. So the church belongs to whom? Jesus. If it is Jesus' church, it's his. It doesn't belong to a pope or a preacher or elders. The church belongs to Jesus because he bought it. You see, the church matters today because it first mattered to Jesus. It's his. It's his business. It was in his mind. And he told the apostles, I'm going to build it. I am going to build it, he said. So if he's the builder, when you create something, that's yours. You have authority. You created that. An engineer owned that project. It's his. You know, whoever created the Verrazano, that's the owner. He's the architect. You say, I'm gonna be the engineer, the architect, the designer of my church. So the church belongs to Jesus. So you see, Jesus is the founder, the creator, the pioneer of the church. He's the author and perfecter of our faith. The church belongs to him. It's his. That's why when he comes back, he's going to come back for his church. And then he says something else here. He said that the church will transcend time. You see, all the institutions that we have will stop one day. Schools, you don't have to, teachers, you won't have to teach one day. You know, all the institute, banks, all the things are going to stop. But the church of Jesus Christ will go on forever. Do you know that? Because the church is God's people. Isn't that? We're going to go on forever. Even after we die, we're still going to continue as his church. You say, I will be, well, that's what he says. He said it, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Hades is the place of the underworld. It's almost like demonic powers, like those things will not be able to stop it. That's what Jesus said. Because, friends, you and I need to understand that whatever Jesus Christ builds, no one can destroy. If he's in charge, no one is going to come against it. We know that the church began at the preaching of the apostles in the book of Acts. When Jesus said, and on this rock I will build my church, on the very statement that Peter proclaimed, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, with that statement, I'm going to build my church. Guess what happened? Peter and the 11, they began to preach Jesus as raised from the dead, as Lord and Messiah. I mean, one of the first words of Peter in Acts chapter 2 during the day of Pentecost was this: let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made this Jesus whom you crucify both Lord and Christ. Isn't that what he said? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you say, on this very statement, I'm going to build my church. And guess what? When he was done with that sermon, more than 3,000 people came to the Lord that day. And you keep on reading. After he's done, he says, when they heard that, they were compelled, like they were pierced in their hearts. They were convicted. And they asked Peter and the 11, brothers, what shall we do? Simon Peter said, repent, all of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, for the forgiveness of your sins, and God will give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for all of you, for anybody who's far off, for whoever the Lord will call. And then verse 41 says, those who heard his message were baptized and then added to their number. The number of the apostles were 12. They were like about 120 people. By the time you're done with chapter 2 of Acts, there's like 3,000 believers. And at one point, Luke just stopped counting. Jesus said, I'm going to build my church. My friend, when Jesus said, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom, what do you think Peter's doing right here? He's utilizing that key. He's opening doors. And the gospel's being proclaimed. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And the apostles were empowered by the Spirit to do miracles, to proclaim the word, to heal people. They were bringing restoration to people that were broken. They were bringing healing to those who need it. But they were also binding demonic powers and other things because, you know, God gave them the power. They were utilizing that key of the kingdom, just like Jesus told Peter that he would do. So the church began right there. At one time, Peter gets up in chapter 4. The disciples, the apostles, the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees and Sadducees, they want to arrest the apostles because they're preaching Jesus resurrected. And they try to find a way to stop him. And they cannot because Jesus said, no one can. I'm going to build my church and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. The Sanhedrin won't either. And at one time, Peter gets up and says, Acts 4:11. Jesus, he said, is the stone you builders rejected. Isn't that the boldness of Peter? He gets in their face. You see, you are the builders of this thing, this religion thing, Judaism. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected. And then Peter said, and he has become the cornerstone, and salvation is found in no one else, because there's no other name given to men by whom we are to be saved. So who is Jesus? The one by whom we can get salvation. The only one. So Jesus is not just a great teacher and a prophet. He is the only one by which you and I can be saved. There's no other name. We sang about what a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus we talked about today. And salvation is only found in him. No wonder he said in John 14, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And you know the way. He told the disciples, and Thomas said, no, we don't know the way. He said, I am the way, man. He said, so you see, Jesus is more than just a prophet or teacher. Like I said, they definitely utilized those keys that Jesus gave him in the book of Acts. You can read that. And the apostles, they're in power, and they're making disciples who make disciples. And the church just, it was like a revolution. They could not stop it. And guess what happened? You know why they could not stop it? Because Jesus said that they couldn't. And thank God that you and I know about the church today, because they could not stop that. And it's been 2,000 years that somebody tried to stop the preaching of the gospel in Jerusalem, where everything started. Jerusalem was the headquarters of Christianity and Judaism and even Islam today. Christianity started right there, and it went north to a place called Antioch. Today is Turkey or Syria. And from that moment on, I mean, today we're still talking about the same thing, because Jesus said, not even the gates of Hades will overcome. Church will be here forever. And I'm going to come to get it. When I come, I'm going to go and prepare a place. When I prepare that place, I'm going to come and get you, so that where I am, you can also be. Jesus Christ is the only one by whom you and I can obtain salvation. But again, listen to me. If he's only a teacher, all that he can do is teach you a good lesson. If you believe that Jesus is only a prophet, all that he can do is proclaim the word, and that's it. But he's not going to save you. You have to believe that he's the Lord. He's the Messiah. That just came to my mind as I'm preaching. You remember when he went to Nazareth as a rabbi? He went back to his hometown. He was raised in Nazareth. He went there. And the Bible said he did not do many miracles in his hometown. Do you wonder why? Because of the lack of faith. Do you know what they believe about Jesus? He said, this is the carpenter's son. Maybe he can build me a nice table. That's all, you know, we know his brothers and sisters. Like, where did he get that wisdom? That's all they believe about Jesus. And because that's what they believe, Jesus did not even do many miracles. Luke said that he just laid the hands on a few people, but, you know, spectacular miracles? No, because their faith that they had about Jesus was limited. My friend, if you're here today and perhaps you have a limited knowledge of Jesus, I want to challenge you to expand that knowledge. Get to know Jesus fully as he's portraying Scripture, because Angela was reading some of the names. Jesus is known by many names in Scripture. The Alpha and the Omega. Yahweh even. The beginning and the end. The root of David. The Messiah. The Son of Man. The Son of God. What are the names you know about Jesus? The Savior. Emmanuel. Wonderful Counselor. Everlasting Father. Prince of Peace. I mean, you see, he's not just a man. He's God in the flesh. The author pioneer of our salvation, the founder of the church. You know, I always go back when people say, like, well, I just don't like the church. Be careful, because Jesus, the church is Jesus' idea. We don't want to just do church because we like it. We do church because this is his church. And you and I are part of that, connected as a family. Like, it was his idea, and it's going to be here forever. You know, the church will transcend time and space. It will go with wherever God wants us to go. Now, this building, those chairs, they will stop. The building will cease. But you and I as a church will go forever in God's kingdom. I mean, man. And he said, I will build that church for me, and I'm coming back to get it. You see, my concern today, And my desire is that you get to see Jesus fuller through what the Bible teaches us about him. That you just don't get content with just knowing that, oh yeah, he was a Messiah. He was a Savior. He was way more. Even in the Old Testament, you get to see Jesus. He's all over. Everything that's been written is pointing to him. Come and see him. You see, I love how John, the gospel writer and the revelation writer, I love how he closes the gospel. You know that there's so many books in the Bible. Not all the books will tell you the purpose of the book. You know, when you read a novel or something, like, you usually get to know, oh, I know what the novel is about. I know what that writing is about. There's a lot of books in the Bible that you have to read the whole thing so that you have an understanding what those books are about. For instance, Matthew doesn't tell you why he wrote the gospel. Matthew, but then if you follow a phrase, the kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven, you get the idea that that's what Matthew wanted you to know. Matthew has 28 chapters, And the phrase "the kingdom of God" or "kingdom of heaven" appears more than 50 times. One time I read the whole gospel and I was just highlighting "kingdom of God," the kingdom, and it went more than 50 times in 28 chapters. So at least it gives you the idea that Matthew wants people to understand what the kingdom of God was about. But I love John. John is one of the greatest guys. Like if somebody asked you one time, like, "I want to start reading the Bible. What book should I start reading?" I say, "Go to John." I mean, it's like you're going to have a blown up picture of who Jesus is. John, the Word became flesh. John, in chapter 20, he tells you why he wrote the gospel. You know, people will say this, for instance, that why is it that some miracles, they differ a little bit? Four writers, different styles and personalities. John is the only one who talks about a Samaritan woman. You're not going to find a Samaritan woman in Mark, Matthew, and Luke. Only John. So he had his reasons. John had his reason for why he decided to include a Samaritan woman story in his gospel. This is why he did it. In case you were wondering, John chapter 20, this is what he said. Verse 30. And again, here's the purpose why he wrote the gospel. He says, "Jesus did many signs or miracles in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, so you might believe that Jesus is what?" Isn't that what Peter said? When he said, "Who do you say that I am?" He said, "You are the Christ." John says, "These are written so you might believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God, and by believing in him, you may have life." So let me translate that for you. John is saying, you know, I could have written a lot about Jesus. He did so many miracles and signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not included. I'm not going to include those miracles in my book. But the ones I decide to include, I'm going to include them so that you might have an idea without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the Messiah. Everything that John wrote in his gospel is so that people have the understanding that Jesus truly is the Messiah, the Christ. So that you don't just stay there. So you believe that he's the Christ, and by believing in him, he says, you may have life in his name. So that's the plan and purpose that he had when he wrote the Gospel of John. So at the end, you read it. I did that. I included those miracles. I'm telling you about him so that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Who do people say that I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And if we believe in you, we'll have life more abundantly. So my friend, if Jesus Christ came today and he will ask you personally, "Who do you say that I am?" I hope that you cannot just say a prophet. I hope, based on what we heard already and what you know, that you can say, "Jesus, you know who you are. You are my Savior, my Lord." There are two great confessions in the Bible, one from Peter, one from Thomas. Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Thomas, in chapter 20 of John, remember he said, "I will not believe until I touch him." He said, Jesus said, "Hey, Thomas, I'm here. Examine the evidence. Come, put your finger in here, man." You know what Thomas says? Like, "My Lord and my God." You know, somebody says, sometimes we're okay with Jesus being our Savior. Oh, he saves us. But many of us struggle with Jesus being our Lord, master of our lives. Because being Lord and master means that we got to give him everything. And sometimes we just want to hang on to some things for ourselves. That's why he said, "Unless you deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me." So who do you say that I am? So when Thomas says, "You are my Lord and my God," he said to Jesus that day, "Because you have seen me, you have believed, Thomas. Blessed are those who are here today sitting down, listening to who I am, because now they believe and they're going to be more blessed than you. Blessed are those who, without seeing me, they have believed," and that includes you and I. We believe because the apostles wrote down. John, I told you, he said, "I've written these so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ." So if Jesus came today, he showed up in your house and said, "Hey, what do you believe? Who do you believe that I am?" I'm praying that our response to Jesus is not limited to just, "Oh, you're a teacher and a prophet." I'm praying that our response be like, "You are my Lord, my Savior, my God."